It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
He's going to be upset. I hope he's... I'll wear it. I shouldn't, but I'll wear it. As we kick off hour two of the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WC Show, joining us now to talk Minnesota Viking football is Matthew Collar on the John Schuster Call Banker Hotline. Matthew, before you get in your feelings about your open not being available... I want to first say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and yours. It's not my fault, but since I'm the head coach of the show, I'll own it.
Well, finally, a little responsibility and accountability from you on this show, which is something new. But Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you as well.
How much shoveling you do today?
A little bit. It was more of a sloppy, speedy type of deal. It was really not a heavy snow.
It wasn't. So, I'm with you. Thank you so much. I actually enjoyed it today. I got a little light workout. I didn't go to the gym because of how much snow it was. But it wasn't that was not a bad shovel today.
No, this I kind of have a little bit of a long driveway, so this was one where I could just kind of get running, you know, get that momentum from behind it going, and just slide it all off to the side. And then clean it up at the end. So, yeah, not a big deal. But no matter what, I always get the plow that pushes all of it into the end. And then it's all the junk and the nasty stuff. That's the only part that I didn't have much fun with.
All right, so now where did you grow up, like, in terms of, like, during the ages of, right around the time that you were, like, in middle school and high school?
I was in Buffalo, New York. So I am very, very familiar with the art of shoveling snow.
Okay, no, so I'm not going to go with the shoveling part. But to me, in my opinion, from sixth grade up to like ninth grade, this was like the perfect day at recess at school for you to play tackle football. This was like top tier day for that because of how the snow, how soft it was. Awesome.
100% agree, because you get a couple people together in a field and you could fall on this snow and it's not going to hurt as much. You could also actually run on this snow, where if it gets really thick and wet, it's really hard to actually get moving, and then it sort of ices over a little bit. But you can actually run. Ball gets a little slick, starts popping out, people peanut punching at it and stuff. Yeah, it's a fun time.
Yeah, it was a fun time back way back in the day. All right, so now let's dive into Vikings football here. And before we look ahead to this weekend's game, let's look back to what took place just here on Monday night. That Monday night game, I actually felt like, even though the Vikings dominated, what did you think of the performance from Sam Darnold? I thought that Sam was just off a bit. It wasn't like he had a bad game, but I didn't think he had one of his better games. He took a step back, but you get what I'm saying, from the previous 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I think the important thing is that he didn't take a step back, even though he wasn't sharp. It wasn't mistakes. The throws were just a little high or a little out in front. I mean, you think about the margin for error with throws that are 20 yards down the field, and he leads, you know, Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison a little too much. It's a deep sideline. It goes a little high where he's trying to put it in a place where only Justin Jefferson could possibly get it. And they did not have the explosive plays like they usually get. And yet, Darnold still found a way to convert third downs, move the football, play off the run. And it seemed that they made an adjustment to start throwing underneath more often to T.J. Hockenson, to Aaron Jones on some checkdowns, and let the other stuff kind of develop as the game went along. So they held on to the ball more than they had in previous weeks. And they had even time of possession, but a lot of the Bears' time of possession was at the end of the game. They had, I think, maybe 10 more plays, more first downs, more conversions, all that sort of stuff from Darnold. And I actually thought that it was progress that he could be off, but also win the game decidedly, make no game-changing turnovers. The interception was the right play to just throw it up for somebody going on fourth down when all of his receivers were covered. So I didn't look at that as a bad decision. Other than that, he didn't give the ball away. He didn't get sacked very often. I mean, I thought he really did a good job of managing what was there in front of them, because Chicago's defense, that organization is a trash fire, but they have good players on the defensive side, and they've given some teams some problems throughout this season. So they just kind of had to find a way to grind through it a little bit, and they did. So I think the fact that, you know, Darnold was able to do that, if we go back to week 5 against the Jets, it looked the same with him being a little off accuracy-wise, but it was a much, much worse performance. Or against the Jags, a much, much worse performance. This one, he didn't let become a problem with turnovers, and that's why they were able to still win.
What was your assessment of how they did against Caleb Williams in round 2? On top of that, give me your assessment of Caleb Williams through the 2 games that the Vikings played him.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you get to the end of the game and the other guy looks like he wants to go home, you've done a pretty good job. I mean, they threw the kitchen sink at him. It was every rush pattern you could ever dial up. It was Jonathan Grenard just ruining someone's career at left tackle for the Bears. That guy's never going to want to play again after that game. Caleb Williams, the hit that he took from Jahan Ward, the strip sack he took from Grenard. I mean, they beat him up. They kept him in the pocket. And what I noticed from Brian Flores did really, really brilliantly in that game was drop back Grenard a lot into the flat to just say, you're not getting to the outside. Because where they were beat before by Caleb Williams was when he was scrambling to the outside. He tried it a couple times, and Grenard was just right there saying, like, sorry, buddy. They spied him with Josh Metellus. I mean, they had every answer for him. And I was completely unimpressed by Caleb Williams and the way he responded to that. The thing on the sideline where he just looked like he was completely done and sort of melting down. The way that his body language was, he was missing open receivers, he was dropping his eyes and not staying within the structure of the play. I mean, when I watched the tape back, receivers are open all over the field. He just wasn't looking at them. He was afraid. And I think this deep into the season, to get your ass kicked like that and respond like that is pretty bad. It's a pretty bad sign for somebody that needs to be making progress. The first game was really good and impressive from Williams, but I think that's been who he is. Every time he seems to take a step forward, he goes and takes a step back. So I think they should be, especially when you look around and go, man, Jaden Daniels looks pretty good. Drake May looks pretty good. Bo Nix is even in the playoffs. And here you are, Caleb Williams, just struggling and not making a lot of progress, they should be, I think, very concerned.
Talking to Matthew Collar, PurpleInsider.com, joining us here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Could you make a case for Josh Metellus being the MVP of the defensive side of the football for the Vikings?
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
For the game against Chicago or just in general?
I'm just talking about in general.
That's a little much for me. I mean, he's been great. He's been great, especially when they've had to deal with missing Ivan Pace, which has been very hard for them, but he's done a lot. And he was great against Chicago. I mean, he put together one heck of a performance. But for me, it's two guys. It's Blake Cashman and it's Jonathan Grenard. Jonathan Grenard is putting up numbers that are equal to those of the likes of Myles Garrett for this season. He has played that well, and he also does things that Myles Garrett doesn't do, like drop back into coverage. But the head of the snake to me is Blake Cashman. He is the most valuable player because when he was out, they were a totally different defense. He is the one that makes all the calls at the line of scrimmage. He blitzes. He drops back in coverage. His pursuit of Caleb Williams, when I watched that back on tape, I lost my mind. I was like, I can't believe the miles that this guy must have ran chasing down Caleb Williams. I mean, it was really, really impressive. So I think that Cashman has probably been that guy and Grenard. But you look around and they've gotten a lot of really excellent performances. You don't end up top five in the league without it. But, you know, I think they've got some real players that when you go into the playoffs, you feel like Grenard can create pressure. Cashman will be this valuable. Josh Metellus will be that chess piece to move around the defense in a lot of different ways. So, yeah, I mean, credit to all of them this season because Brian Flores has put together one heck of a group of guys.
Now, Aaron Jones had another good game against the Chicago Bears, and he's had a really good season for the Minnesota Vikings. I know that we've talked a lot about Sam Darnold, his future. Would they even entertain the possibility of keeping him around? What do you think is the plan with Aaron Jones? Because Aaron Jones has been, we know he's versatile, he can catch it, he can run it, he's been productive. I know that he's getting up there in age, but do you think that he likes Minnesota enough to where he would say, you know what, man, I know maybe I could go somewhere else to get a little bit more money? Because I don't know if he's going to get a multi-year deal, but what do you think is going through the mind of one Aaron Jones?
Yeah, I don't think any running back at his age is ever going to get a multi-year deal at that point, especially if there's been injuries in the past. Though he's been very largely healthy and has played every game, even if he's been battling through things. And his health is super important down the stretch here to whether this team has a real chance to compete for a Super Bowl or not. You can't say enough about the value of Aaron Jones. He does everything. He blocks. He catches passes. He gets, when somebody gets him in the backfield, he doesn't get minus three. He gets two. And those are big runs, too. I mean, that's a five-yard swing just by being able to break a tackle or dodge somebody in the backfield. He's a special person as well. Leadership does not begin to describe the things that Aaron Jones does to impact other people around him. So if he wants to come back, you do feel like you're playing with fire a little bit. They would have to have another option. You need to have a running back that you've drafted or another veteran or somebody. They have not developed anybody, certainly not Ty Chandler, who sits over there and watches the entire game from the bench. But you can't go into next season with just Aaron Jones like they did this year. They would have to have somebody else. But I would imagine that that's something that does come down to dollars and cents and risk and who else they could bring in. But I've got to think that Kevin O'Connell has enjoyed the heck out of having Aaron Jones on his football team.
What scares you about the Seattle Seahawks in a matchup with the Minnesota Vikings here this weekend? We know that traditionally the Vikings have not had much success in Seattle.
Two things, really two players, I guess. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba underneath. This guy has emerged as a real star in the league this year, and the Vikings have had trouble against some of the star wide receivers, specifically Puka Nacua, but even in the last couple of weeks. We've seen Marvin Harrison Jr. had a good game against them. The Falcons were able to throw the ball to Drake London and move the ball through the air, even as poorly as Kirk Cousins was looking. They had a lot of completions and yards in that game. And then, even at times last week, you still saw Keenan Allen get some big plays off against them, even though they were dominating Caleb Williams. So when you have somebody on that side who is emerging as the next top-notch wide receiver, that's a concern right there. They've got a quarterback who can get it to him. It looks like Geno Smith is going to play. And on the defensive side, it's Leonard Williams. It's always going to be, do they have an elite defensive tackle? Oh, they do? I'm scared. Like every single time. Because this team, the interior offensive line, Dalton Reisner has been a godsend for them. He's been a huge, huge improvement over Ed Ingram in the pass protection game, but we've seen Blake Brandel start to get worn down as the season went along. Garrett Bradbury's always struggled against really strong defensive tackles. That whole D-line of Seattle is dangerous. They have six different guys who put on pressures. They send a lot of complicated stuff on third downs that the Vikings have not done a great job of sorting out blitzes in recent weeks. So I think it's really the pressure game, and can Seattle stay on the field by working it to their best underneath wide receiver.
All right, final thing for you, and then we'll let you go. How do you think this thing plays out? What's your prediction?
Oh, man, this is a hard one because all year long I looked at this and said, this feels like a loss. This just feels like you're going out to Seattle. You've had all these high-stress games leading up to it. Is this the one where you kind of run out of gas? And the Vikings are playing much better football than Seattle, which makes me want to go and double back against my pick for all year long. But I think I might stay with it. I think this is one that the Vikings could have a little bit of a tough time with Seattle. I mean, overall, it's a pretty strong, just straight-up matchup. I think the Vikings probably have better coaching, but I don't know. This feels like maybe somebody's kicker has to make one from the logo to win the game or something. It feels like it's a very close matchup with two teams with a lot to play for in this game, so I'm excited.
It should be interesting, and you're right, man. Leonard Williams is he's an absolute monster. I guess let me ask you this one thing on the way out. Any Matthew Kyler appearances next week on the station?
I don't think that I'm getting tapped in. I mean, I guess
I'm not sure. I was just curious because I'm out the entire next week, so I wasn't sure.
Oh, yeah, Brad Lane, I was in a couple of days ago. Maybe just didn't love it. I don't know.
Oh, wow. See, there you go. Why are you taking shots at the man? Come on, man. Anyway, hey, man, I will talk to you as we get closer to the new year or after the new year. Actually, that'll be the next time that we chat. But wishing you the best, man, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Sounds good. Thanks, Henry.
All right, take care. That's Matthew Kyler joining us here on The Late Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. What's up next? Bite of the Night.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.